This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. I've been asked to briefly speak about on the topic of Islamic education, the key to our future success. And when I was thinking about this topic, I was thinking about the crisis that's unfolding, that we see unfolding around the Muslim world. And I believe that one of the legacies of the colonial dismantling of the traditional Islamic institutions across the Muslim world is the crisis that we see. You know, when Muslim institutions are dismantled, then we see the general Islamic literacy and tarbiyah of the ummah drops. And so non-scholars begin to interpret the deen, or poorly equipped individuals are, you know, it's easy for them to lead people astray. At a time when so much ignorance exists, we usually find two extremes becoming prevalent. And I think we can see this in our times. And both of these extremes are actually rooted in extreme ignorance. There's the extremism we see in the form of groups who spread corruption and facade and killing upon the earth. And they justify it with warped and shallow understandings of revelation. Often when you look into their backgrounds, you find that their Islamic education is negligible, or is very superficial, or emotion-driven, or influenced by activists, not scholars. And there's the other extreme, the extremism of those who are vocal in calling for a reinterpretation of Islam, who say that Islam needs to be reformed, who will, in order to fit in with the popular narrative of our times, twist and change Islam to accommodate the accepted narrative of the day. So both of these are extremes, and I believe that they're rooted in the ignorance of, you know, of the ummah, of the masses, and the dismantling of traditional Islamic institutions that were institutions of excellence. What the traditional institutions did was to teach Islam in a structured, holistic fashion. So, you know, we had this idea of a tadarruj in seeking knowledge. So seeking knowledge in stages, in a structured way, not studying about one thing before another, laying the foundations properly. And that's something that the institutions used to do. This allowed great minds to flourish. It gave students the opportunity to accompany great scholars and to just have the space to think. Because when students have the space to think and to express and to explore, this is when genius can flourish. And this is why those institutions produced the likes of the 13th century scholar Imam al-Nawawi. We know that Imam al-Nawawi, he studied in Damascus in the Rawahiya Institute. And when he was brought there at the age of 18 by his father, there were over 300 such institutions in Damascus for him to choose from. So subhanAllah, you can see that, you know, these Islamic institutions were flourishing. And they were not just the choice of, you know, for poor people. They weren't just for dropouts. You know, they weren't just for people who were not succeeding or excelling in life or in their studies. But they were actually the institutions of choice. Also, the 18th century scholar Shah Waliullah Dahlawi in India, he also studied in his father's institution, which was called the Rahimiyya, and then later became a teacher. And we see that often these great scholars would actually outgrow the very institutions where they studied and go beyond the thinking of those institutions and flourish. Also, even in recent times, the likes of Abul Hassan Ali Nadwi, rahimahullah, we see that his intellectual excellence, his eloquence, really was rooted in his, the foundational education he got in Nadwatul Ulama in India. So I hope I've kind of built a case for, the building of Islamic institutions. I feel that the future of Muslims in the UK has got to be in building these strong Islamic educational institutions that, just as our parents' generation built mosques, that was their kind of lasting legacy. We now have to take the baton from them, and we have to take the next step. And that is to build places where we can train the scholars of the future. We want knowledgeable, pious leadership to take the community forward in the tough times that may lie ahead. We want scholars who have wisdom, who understand the context that we live in and the society that we live in. And, Brother Faisal asked me to just kind of give you a little introduction to my own background in seeking knowledge. So, I was a straight-A student at school, and my teachers were quite disappointed that I wanted to study Islam. I went to a girls' school in Barnet, not too far from here. And when I decided that I wanted to study Arabic and Islamic studies, there was really nowhere in the UK that my parents could have, considered. So I had to go abroad. I went to Cairo to study. And it really was not an easy environment for a girl to live in. I don't think it's an easy environment for anyone, actually. And when I came back, I couldn't stay there in the long term. So after a few years, I came back. When I returned to the UK, I could have studied at a university like, SOAS or one of the other Western universities, but I was really looking for a classical Islamic education because I felt that, quite frankly, if I was to go to those universities, I would be trained to be an Orientalist. I would be trained to see the Quran as literature. I would be taught by people who, in many cases, didn't even believe in Islam. So how could I learn from their manners? How could I learn from their spiritual insights? So I was pleased to find institutions like Cambridge Islamic College here, built based on traditional models. And I think we have the opportunity today to be stakeholders in the future of this institution. So inshallah, to round up, I'll say that, I think we've had enough of kind of shallow thinking. We've had enough of the hotheads, the sloganeering, the pamphleteering, the chanting, the empty symbolism. We don't want internet scholars. We don't want, no more Facebook muftis and Twitter muftis. We want to build a generation that's imbued with wisdom, that has depth, that are bold and confident, who are sincere and pious, who are analytical, who are beacons of light for their community. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he described the scholar or the alim, he said, the superiority of the alim over the abid is that of the full moon in comparison to the other stars when the full moon is there. And, when the full moon is in the sky, you don't even see the other stars. You don't even notice them. And that is because the abid, even though he's worshipping and he's benefiting himself, his benefit is really primarily for himself. And the alim is somebody who the whole community can look to. The alim is the one who protects Islam in times of difficulty, when people are confused in times like ours. You know, we always look to the scholars to really get guidance as to how we should be thinking, how we should be responding. So these are the sorts of people we want to raise and we want to build, inshallah, in the future. There are voices in our times that continue to tell us that in order to change our community or to change the future of Islam, we need to destroy. We need to be destructive. And we need to fight. We need to clash. But we know that to truly change the future for the better, we need to build. So inshallah, I hope that we will together build something lasting, something that really has a lasting effect for generations to come. And inshallah, with that, I will finish. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.